Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here is Peter Royce.
In the wake of the terrifying events of September the 11th and its aftermath in the United States, the mainstream media have helped maintain a state of heightened fear among the American populace. That fear gets communicated to our kids, and there have been many suggestions on how to protect them. Cynthia Peters has been looking at the suggestions and believed that as activists, we should look beyond mainstream advice in tackling these issues with our kids. Cynthia Peters is a political activist, writer, and editor based in Boston. Hi, Cynthia, and welcome to Red Eye.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So now you've reviewed some of the mainstream media advice to parents in dealing with kids' questions about the September the 11th attack and aftermath, and found advice on avoiding the issue. Can you give me some examples of the things you've read and heard?
Sure, yeah. I thought one of the most interesting things I would see quite a bit would be the advice that children should not, when children ask why, we should basically try to distract them from that question or tell them that it's an impossible question to answer, that there is no why to September 11th, that it's just an inconceivable, impossible to understand, incomprehensible action that happened. And, you know, for children, why is, of course, the most important question, the most important word practically in their vocabulary. Understanding why the world works the way it does is something children really, really want to know. And when they see their parents or adults around them avoiding why, they don't just learn the obvious thing, which is, you know, to not pursue this curiosity, but they also learn that their parents are not able or are somehow unwilling to pursue, you know, the root of the problem. And I think those two messages there are very, very damaging, really, for children, and very damaging for how we hope that they'll grow up and become thinking, questioning adults who struggle with difficult questions.
And how has the mainstream media been dealing with providing a sense of safety that kids do undoubtedly need?
Well, you know, a central concern has been, in addition to this distracting them from the question why, has been how can we help our children feel safe at a time like this when the world seems so unpredictable. And I think that's a very legitimate concern. Kids need to feel safe. There's all sorts of advice out there about how to help your children feel safe, and a lot of it, at least for me, a lot of it rung really hollow or had a sort of very fake feel to it. There was advice, for example, that a parent should play act that they're a turtle and that they're pulling their head inside their shell, and then they can say to their preschooler, now we're inside our shell and we can relax and feel safe now. And this kind of thing is you know, maybe all and well for a moment of coziness, a cozy, warm feeling, but it doesn't take away the reality that it is an unpredictable world and there are problems. And I think what kids need maybe to feel safe is that they need to see the adults around them confronting those problems and confronting them like adults, not like pretend preschoolers playing turtle. I don't think that's comforting to a child, to see their parent acting like a turtle who's crawling inside its shell when the world gets hard. I think it's much more comforting for a child to see their parent struggle, pursue, engage, take on the problems, and try to solve, basically act like a grown-up.
So what would an alternative approach to dealing with these painful issues, you know, with kids look like? How would it play out?
Well, I think parents have to be careful about how they talk to their kids. There are ways that you can talk to kids that are inappropriate. And also, you have to know your child and know how much your child can deal with and think about how to phrase things in a way that doesn't completely freak them out. But I think honesty is very important. I think a lot of children don't ask questions unless they're ready to hear the answers to those questions. At least I've noticed that a lot with kids. They often hold back from asking things when they're too afraid to know the answer. And I think that's fine. We don't need to tell them stuff that they're not asking. But when they ask, we need to give limited and appropriate answers. And then in the meanwhile, we need to not just be oriented towards our children. We need to be oriented towards the adult world. We need to be engaged with it. As an anti-war activist, as a person who's very concerned that this war is going to end up killing many, many more innocent people than have already been killed in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, I'm going out and I'm going to vigils and I'm going to anti-war meetings and I'm talking to people, and I take my children to a lot of these things, and I want them to see what it's like to be around peaceful adults who are trying to stop something that they think is wrong.
So is there a sense in which that action, the activities that kids see, is more important than the words that they hear from adults?
I mean, it's often the case that children really learn from watching. Role modeling is probably the most important way that children learn. There's a famous psychologist named Jerome Bruner who came up with this idea of scaffolding. He said that the way children learn, if you put a child in a room with a puzzle, say, and just tell the child how to do the puzzle, the child will have no idea what you're talking about. Or if you just give the child the puzzle and tell her, well, go ahead, you'll figure it out, just go ahead and try it out and see if you can figure it out, she'll also have a really hard time with that. But if you sit next to her with your own puzzle and solve the puzzle, she'll watch you and see that the strategy you're using is yielding a solution, and then she'll be able to sort of scaffold herself towards a skill by watching. And I think that we can scaffold our children towards understanding how to interact in the world as empowered adults who take responsibility for things like what our government decides to do in response to a terrorist attack. Now, I mean, that's pretty heavy, but it happens on there's all sorts of levels at which this happens. If your children basically are able to witness adults around them taking responsibility for their world, then I think what they do is they get scaffolded into an understanding of how the world works and of how institutions work and of how you might challenge those institutions when they need to be challenged. And, you know, rather than this other idea that, you know, we need to play act certain things at their level, or this sort of child-centered approach to making them feel safe, I think that doesn't scaffold them towards adult behaviors, which they'll learn slowly but surely if they're allowed to participate, you know, even in limited ways in the adult world.
So how do you think that this approach communicates a sense of hope that's also crucial for development?
Well, this is actually a tricky part, I think, because, you know, my own daughter said to me recently, what are we going to do after we make peace? You know, meaning, you know, what's on next week's agenda? And she clearly, you know, she's been very excited about some of the anti-war work we've been doing, but she didn't have a sense of how long it would take. And I realized that, you know, part of her hopefulness around this is seeing an immediate result. And I realized that part of what she might, you know, what she needs to be scaffolded into, and what all children need to be scaffolded into, is a sense of the long-term nature of trying to make the world a fair and a safe and a just place. And again, the way for them to learn that is for them to see their parents and adults around them making this our lifetime work, making this something that we don't get frustrated by it when we don't get instant gratification. We stick with it for the long haul, and we show them our hopefulness by acting on our hopefulness. And that's how our children will learn hopefulness, I think, not by any kind of set of words or lectures or anything like that, but just in our actions. The long-term invested nature of our actions will show them a hopefulness, I believe.
Well, thanks very much for speaking with me, Cynthia.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed talking about this.
I've been talking with Cynthia Peters. Cynthia Peters is a political activist, writer, and editor based in Boston. For more of her work, check out the Zed Magazine website at www.zedmag.org.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM, in Vancouver, Canada.